read my palm to see what is my future going to be. This book right here tells me what my future is.
Amen.
If I'm obedient to the Lord, He not necessarily going to bless me with riches and fame and everything that I want, but if I'm obedient to Him, I will have everything that I need. And most of the time, if we're faithful, we have things that we really don't need, we just want. But where do we begin? You know, this morning I want to bring a lesson on the subject, Bible study, as the one to the Word of God to study, one must begin with the premise that God is, that He can be known, and that He has something to say. God can be known, you know, and so many people think about God, you know, He's invisible, He's, you know, I can't reach Him. I can. And God is not a respecter of persons. If you're saved and in His will, you can reach Him. And He will give you the same advice. You know, I don't have any confidence, and, you know, I'm not telling you whether you should or shouldn't, but when people say, well, God told me to do this, and I'm comfortable with it. But if it's not according to thus said the Lord, you're listening to somebody, but it's not God. God will never, in no way, shape, or form, ever direct any of His children that you can't find it in the Word of God. The premise is, where do we begin? We got to begin in the two words, God is. God is. Moses, in the first verse of the Bible, declared God's existence, said, in the beginning. In the beginning. Not after, not in the beginning, wherever that beginning was. Moses does not try to explain the existence of God. Moses does not tell us of the beginning. He just simply says, in the beginning. In other words, Genesis, the first three verses and the first three chapters, doesn't explain to us. He just says, this is what happened. On the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. And we can say, well, I have a hard time following that. But the premise when we go is that God is, and you know, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11:3, you know, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, so people said, well, where did the material, I had a person ask me that once, where did that material come from? Same place the world came from, I would say, you know, because he tells us in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What's he saying there? There wasn't no material waiting for God to put it together. He spoke it.
Amen.
He spoke it. And see, this sort of bothers some people because we like the hands-on, and I've got to do this. Following God, being saved, being blessed, whatever terminology you want to use, it comes from God, and He's in the beginning, and that's where we have to start. He didn't already create, you know, yards and yards of lumber and steel and all this thing. He said, let there be.
Amen.
And there was. That's the same way that I tell people who are terminally ill. God created you. You didn't come from a formula, from a laboratory. So I appreciate the doctors or whoever's telling me the information. But you that are healthy, you're healthy because God has permitted you to be healthy.
Amen.
And that does not take away from your responsibility not to do this or not to eat this or not to drink this, because He not only created us and we were created by His Word, and the Word is powerful. So Moses tells us in the beginning, God was in the beginning. And the writer of Hebrews, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, what I'm saying, He did not create all the material for the beginning. There wasn't nothing to create it out of, so He merely spoke it. The same way He saved me, through the Word. Same way that if I'm faithful, it's through the Word. Because we got all kind of scales or forms or blueprints, if I do this and this and this and this. Just let God lead you. Make sure that everything that you do is thus saith the Lord. Creation tells us of divine creator and designer of the universe and the world in which we live. You that like the beaches, you that like the mountains, you that like the certain state and the wonders of it, God made that. And man is doing a great job of tearing it up. But creation tells us of a divine creator and designer of the universe and the world in which we live. Creation declares the glory of God. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmaments show of His handiwork. I started out this morning from the lake over there. It was just raining real, real easy. I got an eighth of a mile down the road, and it just rained so hard you couldn't see hardly. Drive another mile or so, and it's back to almost drizzling, God does that. God does that. Romans 1:20 said, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I love Romans 1:20. People say, I wasn't born with the patience you were born with. I wasn't born with the knowledge that you were born with. But Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I wasn't brought up where a family taught me financial freedom. I wasn't brought up in a home that tells me that when I'm looking for a husband or wife, if I'm saved, I need to look for a saved one. See, if you're His, He teaches you. But you got to go to the speaks through the Word. I speak simply for myself. I don't believe in visions. I don't believe in dreams. because I'm not smart enough to know exactly what a dream purpose is and what a vision is. And there are those that say, well, I seen it, you know, God showed it to me in a vision and it happened. Praise the Lord, you're one lucky dude. But that's not how he speaks. He speaks to us through his word.
Amen.
And he says it very clearly, the last part, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, and became vain in the imagination of their foolish hearts was darkened. See, that's the problem when Christians, when I have problems, and it's, where did those problems come from? Well, probably I didn't leave it in his hands long enough, or I didn't like the way he was going, so, you know, I know more than God does about my situation. I mean, you know, I live it. But yet God says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, you know God. Now, do you glorify him as God? Do you acknowledge that the next breath is because of God? You have a job because of God. You say, well, I was qualified for that job. You think nobody else was? I mean, do you honestly think if you work here in Cynthia and Harrison County, nobody else could have the same ability that you had? Maybe even more. I worked at IBM 30 years because God gave me that job. And he kept me there because I was at least halfway, had enough sense to know that he gave it to me. God has declared his existence down through the age. Nowhere in the Bible can I find where God is trying to explain to me that he's God. Francis Schaeffer wrote, he is there and he is not silent. We sang the song, this is my father's world. Any of y'all ever heard this song? This is my father's world. I'm a guest. I'm a guest of God. And every one of his elect is a guest of God. God can be known. You say, oh, God is, you know, I believe in God, but I don't know if I buy that God can be known. Well, the God of the Bible is not just mere force or power. The Bible declares God to be personal. Personal. You know, he calls himself I and addresses those whom he speaks to as you. Where are you? He's an I. I am God. You are what I made you. When we start to address ourselves as I belong here. I deserve this. I. You overwork the I, and it shows that you have some problems. God is I'm you. God chose me. I'm one of his youths. Now, in Exodus 3, verse 14, you know, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. You know, when you think about that, instead of just reading those words, when you look at what he said in Exodus, the third chapter, you know, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. I hadn't planned it, but me and one of the brothers went out on the visitation, and the gentleman who owned the house said, who sent you to my house? And without even thinking, I said, a great I am sent me. Everything that we do, we are to be able to say, the great I am sent me. Because if you realize that you're following his command, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. God is three persons in one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but one God. Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Genesis 1, 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. So I had a member here once, said, I'm not arguing with you, Pastor, but I'm just telling you that the soul and the spirit, it's the same. And I said, brother, I'm not disputing you, but the Bible says that I was created in the image of God. So I've got a body, I've got a soul, and I've got a spirit. And my body, how I take care of my body affects my soul. That's your emotions. It's how you handle things. Have you found that when you're in the center of God's will, that you handle things better? So he said, and God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them that have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over, you know, us. Let us. So in creation, all three members of the Godhead were involved. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but I need all three of those to keep me in line. But in Psalms 102 in verse 25, Psalms 122, verse 25, of old has thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. You know, it just shows me how unlearned and how we don't listen, how we don't hear, how we don't read, how we don't comprehend, you know, that all of these, you know, rocks were millions and millions of years old. And I tell you, I went to such and such a college, and that professor had more degrees than anybody. So, I can answer that in one statement. Was Adam and Eve babies? How did they eat the fruit from the garden if it started out as a seedling? You know, it's when we try to get so deep that we overlook what God would have us to say. And God tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I got a body, that's what you can see. But I also got a soul, and I also got a spirit. So here in John 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything. You know. And I keep asking myself sometimes when I want to joke with God, and then I find out, you know, He don't joke, but, you know, I dislike snakes about as much as Callie dislike spiders. You know, why would you let these snakes flourish? I mean, it was old serpent, you know, that caused the problem. And immediately, nobody spoke to me. No, it was Adam following his wife. And everybody throw apples at me. But that's the problem. Now we follow the pocketbook, or we follow entertainment. We follow, I want to live here, or I want to live there, I want to own this. Whatever comes before God is your idol. And you can't serve an idol and serve God both. Can't do it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, as we read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness fell upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. Guess what? There was light. How many, you know, I have been called to the bedside of an individual in the hospital where they only gave them a couple hours to live. And I thank God that I made it there in time. But when I got there, God had been there first. See, I believe that. See, I believe that the surgeries that I've had, thank God for good doctors, but God did the healing. Amen. He's the great physician. In creation, all three members of the Godhead were involved. God spoke to Adam, Abraham, and Moses, to all the prophets, and now through the Son. Now, you see why that I use the text, you know, in the beginning. But now we speak through the Son. Or we want advice, we go to the Word. Because what's in the Word is what God would tell us if He was sitting on the front seat. And if He's not here this morning, we should have stayed at home. But He's here when the Word is proclaimed accurately, forcefully, the way the Spirit leads. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, notice verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's why they followed Moses. That's why they followed all the Old Testament saints. But when Christ came and He died and He was buried and He arose, and now He's at the right hand of God, He is my lawyer, my intercessor. He said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, when He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and uphold all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, this is how he speaks. Now, I've used this illustration, and I used it yesterday when another preacher called me. Somebody told him about how, I believe, about the King James. You know, so I tell Steve something, and Steve tells Brenda, and Brenda tells her. And when it gets all the way back up here, it's not the same. The jest may be, but it's not the same. That's what you do when you have a King James 1611. And you try to use an NIV or an ESV and all these other V's and D's. You got part of it. But if you're repeating me, I don't want you to repeat part of what I said. Don't you think we owe God the same respect? We ought to owe God more respect. He said, "Where did that come from?" It came from God. I write notes, but if God gives me something fresh, I don't not use it. See, it's just an outline. You know what an outline is. God's attributes tell us about him. So we learn in the Word of God that he is holy, he's just, he's long-suffering, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's powerful, he's omniscient, only to name a few of his attributes. See, God is real. And if we want to find out what does God think about certain things, we need to be familiar with the inspired word. You know. And what we do, as so many interpreters do, they try to take a verse, and sometimes you got to interpret that verse by another verse. Maybe sometimes in another book. And that takes study. And that's so boring unless you're in love with Jesus. Want me to prove that? When Dora and I was dating, we dated about 2 years, and she'd write me all those little juicy notes, you know. And I'd read them. And I'd put them in my desk. Sometimes later I'd get them out and I'd read them. But how many times do we get our God's notes? When we're feeling sorry for ourselves, when we're not well, you know. God's attributes tells us he's holy, he does, he's long-suffering, he's loving. Fourthly, God has given a message to us. And the message is in Hebrews 1 through 3. Hebrews, first chapter, the first three verses. But it tells us how we receive his message. And he tells us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In the Old Testament, he had prophets, he had men, he had women, he had groups that would interpret the scripture. Moses, you know, Abraham. God spoke directly to Abraham. Told him he needed to go up on a mountain and offer his son. It didn't come from a book. It didn't come from a preacher. It came from God. This is what God wanted him to do. See, if we're familiar with the word, we don't have to say, well, so-and-so didn't say that. But if you had read the word, studied the word, meditated upon the word, you would have known that's what God wanted you to do. So, as a way of life, not too many people read. I'm not going to ask for hands, but very few church members read the scripture. Less than that studies the scripture, and less than that follows the scripture. Because they fell in love with once saved, always saved. Wish I was on the front row, I'll say amen to that. Because that's a fact. But all of those things that I brought out this morning and could bring out and bring out and bring out shows me whether I am saved just in the head or do I know I'm saved. Just like when I take my wife for granted. It's not a good place to live. Book we call the Bible has a message in it. It is a message of hope, love, forgiveness, and eternal life through Jesus. Not through, you know, so many people think, you know, when I join a church, everything will be wonderful. At Tuesday morning that God saved me from Tuesday morning at about 7 o'clock, until Sunday morning when I made profession of faith, man, that was my wonderful time. But I know that same word had taught me that I need to submit to scriptural baptism and join the Grace Baptist Church. Then I had to begin to act out what I felt in my heart. It is a message of hope, love, and forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, when I get into the Word, I find out, first of all, my life is not hopeless. You know why so many people on alcohol and drugs and sex and all the other things? It's the only hope that they got. But when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, the message that is in this Bible will give you hope. It'll tell you that God loves you. That's the way you are. Now, sometimes God can't fellowship with us, but he never stops loving me. Explain that to me. Because he's God. Because God didn't love me in the beginning because of what I did. I've had people tell me, you know, I do because I love, not in order for God to love me, because he loved me. That's the only reason I love him. So it's a message of hope, love, and forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And conclusion, when we get a letter from a loved one whom we have not seen in a great while, we read it over and over. I got a birthday card from my son about 4 years ago. And he had a note in it. He told me how much he loved me. What a good father I'd been. I still get that card out every once in a while and read it. Because my hope is that someday, if it wasn't real then, it will be real someday. But God loves me just the way I am. When I'm good, when I'm nasty, when I ignore him, he loves me. The songwriter had it true. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me. So as we close, when we get a letter, as we said, from a loved one whom we have not seen in a great while, we read it over and over. The Bible is God's message to us. Read it.